taking just a couple of words this morning from our text verse that says, "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." I'm taking those last two words, "afar off," as the title of my message this morning. You know the story. Abraham had been commanded by God to take, or was commanded by God to take Isaac, his son. And Isaac was to be taken to a place on Mount Moriah and be offered as a sacrifice. That meant, ladies and gentlemen, that Abraham was supposed to tie his own son with the cords on the altar. That means that Abraham was supposed to take a knife and pierce his own son. If you let me use crude language, murder his own son. Kill him. And offer him like he'd offer a lamb on a sacrifice, on the altar of sacrifice. They took Abraham. By the way, Isaac was not a boy. Isaac was a grown man. He himself consented to the command of God. It was necessary that he do so, or he could have fled. Abraham took Isaac on a 3-day journey. 3 days because our Heavenly Father gave his only begotten Son, whose body was in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. After 3 days, they came to the place assigned, and you do remember the story. Can you imagine what went through the heart of Abraham for those 3 days? Can you comprehend that? Can you imagine how you would feel if you were looking at a place that you could see in the far-off distance where you were supposed to kill your own son or your own child? Folks, the hardest thing for us to realize is that people that don't live in Hammond are people too. Pick up your newspaper and read about 500 people killed in Afghanistan. We don't think they're people. They're people like your people. They're human. They have loves and children and needs, and they're like we are. And Abraham loved Isaac like you love your son, a child. And he looked and he saw the place afar off. I want to speak this morning on the subject afar off. Father, bless, I pray, these moments just ahead of us as we look afar off. Amen. Most of our problems are thrust upon us unexpectedly. A car accident. A sudden heart attack of a loved one. A sudden illness. Most of our problems in life are thrust upon us unexpectedly. And they're not seen before they seize us. Yet, some of our problems and burdens we see afar off. Afar off. Yet we do see it. We look afar off and we see approaching a burden. It seems certain that it will arrive, or you'll arrive at it. You're marching towards it. Now, from its first appearance, first time that you heard or felt or knew that something heavy was going to fall upon you afar off, your entire life has been altered since that day. You will never again be the same. There are people all over this building this morning who are marching as sure as an arrow to its mark toward sorrow. It's not on you now. It's afar off. What is it? A lonely old age? A single adult looking toward the senior years, alone. You're happy now. You have friends about you now. But you wonder about the late years. What's going to happen when you have a stroke? Who's going to push your wheelchair? Who's going to feed you when you cannot feed yourself? And this morning, though things are well with you now, you see a cloud afar off. Is it certain widowhood? Your husband is ill. He has a heart condition that is going to soon take his life, or will take his life eventually. And you look afar off, and you know that you're going to be a widow. You know that the one with whom you shared these many years of life is going to be taken. And you see a burden coming. It's not on you now, but you see it afar off. Is it crippling arthritis? Have you already begun to feel in your hands arthritic pains? Have you already begun to feel in your body enough pain to know that the day is going to come, if you live long enough, where you'll not be able to move and be mobile like you are now? Oh, you can walk now, but afar off, you'll not be able to. You can move about now, but afar off, you'll be confined to a wheelchair. Things are fine now, but you look, and as Abraham did, as he saw the place afar off. Is it multiple sclerosis, which numbers of our people have? As you view your future, do you see a wheelchair? And you dread what you see afar off? Do you know someone who has had multiple sclerosis longer than you have? And you realize what's facing you? Did you see Mrs. Bob Kelly when she was here recently? And you looked at her in the wheelchair, realizing she can no longer care for her own family's needs. And you say, that's my afar off. It's not here yet. But you see it afar off. Is it unemployment? Have they laid off people at your place of work? And you're soon, or you're sure to be laid off later on. Oh, not now, because of seniority. But you know, as sure as you're sitting in this room this morning, that you will be laid off. And you see unemployment afar off. Oh, you have your rent to pay now, your house payment. You can make your car payment now. You can feed your family now. But as you look afar off, what do you see? Is it a crippled child? Do you have a little child that's as cute as can be now, and whose little slobbery kisses send tingles up and down your spine now? But you know that child will not always be a child. And you know that cute little crippled child will someday be a grown person, a man, woman. And you wonder how it's going to be afar off. Is it a retarded child? And you realize that retarded child will never walk an aisle to get married, will never get a diploma from a high school or a degree from a college. And you sit here this morning, and there's no real big burden to it now. It's a burden, but the big burden is afar off. What's the future hold? What's coming afar off? Is it an incurable disease in your own body? Do you feel rather well this morning, but you realize you'll not always feel that well? Because there works and lurks in your body now a disease that one of these days is going to cripple you or take your life. And though right now you feel no real heavy load or burden about it, as you look afar off, you can see it. Abraham had his son by his side, but afar off he could see the mountain where he would take his son and bind him. Abraham walked with his son, but he could see afar off the mountain where he would take the knife and raise it above his son's body to kill him. Abraham saw it afar off,
And every step he took, he got closer to it. Every step closer to that altar. And every step that you take, you're closer to paralysis, or closer to loneliness, or closer to unemployment, or closer to being crippled. And as you look afar off, not now, but afar off. I want to talk to you folks this morning who's afar off, look sad, lonely, or bleak. You have three alternatives. Number one, you may look it square in the eye and be bitter about it. God isn't good to me. Why is my child afflicted? Why does my child have muscular dystrophy? Why does my child have cerebral palsy? Why do I have multiple cirrhosis? Why is my husband a serious heart patient? Why is cancer in my body? Why will I lose my job and be unable to provide for my family? Why? And you can become bitter about it and say, God hasn't been good to me, but that'll not help anybody at all. Or you could become fearful. You can look right at it and say, this is my problem, and you can become fearful. You have a second choice. You may look away from it. Believe it isn't there. Get your mind on something else. But when you look back, it'll still be there. So you have three choices. One, you can look at it, become bitter, and that's not going to help anybody. And it's going to wreck your life. You only have one life to live. Don't live it full of bitterness. And don't live it full of fear. So one choice you have is to look at it. Another choice you have is to look away from it. Third choice. This is the one. You may look through it. You may look through it and find God behind it. You may believe Romans 8:28 and say, I'm not looking at it. I'm looking at through it at the God who governs and controls the universe who's behind it. I'm not looking away from it to ignore it as if it were not there. Now I'm not looking at it to cause me bitterness and fear. But that thing I see afar off, I'm looking through it. Now listen to me carefully. You grab a good old hold on Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And you put Romans 28 right behind your Mount Moriah afar off. And don't you look at your burden afar off, you look through it, and you see God and Romans 8:28 behind it. And you say, it will be good. I do not know how it will be good, but it will be good. Why? I see God behind it. I see God on the other side of it. And when I get on the other side of it, there'll be God waiting for me. I see God on the other side of it. You can say, I wonder how it's going to be for good. It could be exciting to you. I know that's for my good because I love God and I'm in God's will. I'm called according to God's purpose and I love Him. And so I know that all things work together for good. I do not, as I approach Isaac, as he approached Mount Moriah and saw the mountain where soon he was to offer his son, he did not know how it would be good. He just knew it would be good. He did not know what God was going to do. The title of my message is this, God's up to something. God's up to something. You see Mount Moriah coming and you see that cloud coming and you're marching toward that thing afar off, I'll bind you. If you love God and if you're in God's will, God's up to something. And you can say, I'll not look at it and be bitter or fearful. I'll not look from it and act as if it weren't there. I'll look through it to see my God. And somewhere behind it is my God who's going to work it, bring it out for the good. I don't know how it'll be good. I wonder, you say, what is God up to in this? You got a wheelchair in front of you. Let me tell you a little story, and I just found this out in its fullness this past Tuesday night. Tuesday night I preached in the Philadelphia area. When I finished preaching, a young lady came to me, a very attractive young lady, must have been 26, 28 years of age. She said, do you know me? And I said, I don't. Are you listening to me? She said, do you know me? And I said, I don't think so. And she said, I'm Dan Parr's daughter. Why? I said, of course, I knew you when you were a little child. Used to come and preach for your dad every year at the then Salem Baptist Church up near Philadelphia. And it reminded me of that night, one of the most amazing nights of my life. We had scheduled, one night I was preaching for Dan Parr at the then Salem Baptist Church. After the service, the pastor said, Dr. Howells, could I talk to you a while? Could I drive you back to your room? We sat outside in front of the motel room. And he said, I want to tell you a story. I went to the dentist just a few weeks ago. Just went for a checkup. He checked my mouth and he said, something's wrong in there. And the more he checked, the more he tested, he finally said, you've got cancer down in your throat, in your mouth, cancer. He said, Dr. Hiles, I've got a lot of things I want to do. He had a great church up there running 11 or 1200 Sunday school, and he'd grown from almost nothing. Probably the best soul-winning church in Philadelphia at the time. And he said, I've got so much. And a middle-aged man, I'm guessing Dan Parr must have been 45 at the time. And he said, I've got so many things I want to do. He said, now if God wants to take me home, I'm willing to go. But he said, I'd like to stay here. Would you pray with me and pray for me? Now, I kept in contact with that man for years. He got better, he got worse. He got better, he got worse. He got better, he got worse. Finally, I was preaching in New Jersey. And I think it's Williamstown, Williamsburg, something, New Jersey. I was preaching there, and the pastor met me at the airport, and he said, Dan Parr is worse. Could you drive across town? I want you to go over there and pray with him. We drove across town. Dan Parr was sitting there in his home in a wheelchair, just emaciated. And I prayed with him. Far off, he could see. Can't preach anymore. Afar off, he could see. Wife, a widow. Afar off, he could see. Children without a father. Afar off, he could see. A church without a pastor. And I said to him, you mark it down, Brother Dan. God's going to use this. And I said, you'll do things for God that you never could have done in your life because of this. Don't look at it and be bitter. Don't look away and refuse to face reality. Look through it and see God. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said to me, you're going to be the one that's going to help him do that. I never thought about that. And I said, Dan, why don't you go to pastor school this next year? Speak for us. I thought what a blessing it'd be for that man who afar off could see death and had cancer in his body to speak. But just before pastor school, Mrs. Parr called me. And she said, Brother Hiles, Dan's in the hospital in Philadelphia. He'll not be able to come. But Dan had other plans. He had fever as high as 107, they said. He's in the hospital, burning up with fever, dying with cancer. Had his oxygen tank here. Oxygen stuck in his nose. Dan Parr said, I was supposed to preach our night at First Baptist Church Pastor School. Doctor said, you can't even get out of bed. Dan Parr got up, held on to that bed post, tiptoed down a hallway of the hospital, escaped the hospital, taking his oxygen tent with him. Not tent, but a little deal. Stood right here where I'm standing right now, a dying man. Oxygen tank right over here, breathing oxygen so he could get enough room to speak. Preach like this. One of the greatest services of my life. And then 57 adult men walked the aisle giving their lives to the gospel ministry. I've met at least 30 of those men since then, and there are at least 30 of them who are active in the gospel ministry. I don't know where the other 27 are, but I guarantee you most of them are busy for God, in full-time work for God, and some are sitting in this room this morning. Who's here this morning? Sure to preach when Dan Parr was here. There's one over here. Who else? Way back in the back, one there. Yes. at least two this morning, in this room, walked these aisles that night while a dying man was standing here. He didn't look at his pain afar off and say, I'm bitter. God hasn't been good to me. He didn't look away from it and say, I'll not face it. He looked through it and saw the greatest days his ministry ever had. And God gave him just a few more days. And Dan Parr preached to bigger crowds and to more preachers in the next few days of his life than he had his entire life before. What was God doing? God was up to something. Oh, but by the way, that doesn't help Mrs. Parr. Dan got to go to heaven. Mrs. Parr stayed here. And by the way, I don't know if you remember this or not, we paid off her house before Dan died. Paid it off. Raised the money, paid off her house. Back to last Tuesday night. Little daughter stood platform. She said, have you heard about my mother? I said, I heard some rumblings, but don't know the real facts. She said, my mother has gone to the foreign mission fields as a missionary. What did she do? She saw it afar off, but she didn't look at it. She didn't look away from it. She looked through it and saw God. And the greatest days of her life are coming now. Why? Because she looked through that which is coming afar off. You don't have to be afraid. If you look through it and see God, as you approach it, say, I don't know what good's going to come from this, but Romans 8:28 says this good's going to come. I'm afflicted and I have a disease that'll cripple me, and I don't know what good's going to come from it, but I know this, some good's going to come. I wonder what God's up to. I know some good's going to come. And you know, you can make that sadness and that cloud that lurches afar off, or that Mount Moriah in your life that's afar off that you dread to see, you can make that an exciting, thrilling thing by saying, Sowie, I know that's going to work out good. I can't see how it's going to work out good, but hot dog, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. He said it'd be for good, didn't he? Do you love him? Are you in his will? He said it'd be for good, didn't he? I don't see how it could be. Wouldn't be fun if you did. Exciting part is approaching your afar off. Exciting part is looking at your afar off and saying, underneath are the everlasting arms. I'll not look at it to fear or tremble or be bitter. I'll not look away to escape it. I'll look through it and I'll find my God. I was 10 years old. My sister got married. And I remember when my sister got married, my little mother cried all night long. I shouted all night long. Folks in the mezzanine, be seated, please. Don't just lord around the mezzanine. Be seated. Service is not over. Be seated. My mother sat down that night with me. She cried all night long, and sometime through the night she sat down and she said, son, you're all I've got to live for now. My daddy was hardly ever at home, finally left us. Mama said, son, you're all I've got to live for now. And I can recall so many times when my mother would pray. She'd pray, oh, God, I don't know what I'll do when Jack is grown and gone. And I'll not forget the night that I left for the Army in World War II and said goodbye to my family at the Dallas, Texas Union Depot train station. And my mother looked at me and she said these words. She said, son, my arms are empty again. They once held a precious little baby girl who died when she was 7 and her arms were empty. They held a precious second little girl who died when she was 7 and mother's arms again were empty. They once wrapped around my father's big broad shoulders, but my daddy left home and left us. And her arms were empty. But you understand, my mother hugged me, and I hugged her every day. I never left her presence without kissing her goodbye and telling her I loved her. The last words my mother said when I left the train station, she said, my arms are empty again. But she wouldn't quit. As she looked afar off and saw her Moriah, she did not look at it and say, I'll die. She didn't look away and say, it's not real. She looked through it and so God.
The greatest years that little woman ever lived were the years that followed. Happiest years of her life were from the time she was 65 to the time she passed away at 96. What do you see afar off this morning? What do you see, 70, afar off? Do you see a wheelchair?
A rest home? Senility? What do you see, man, afar off? Unemployment? What do you see, diseased one? What do you see, mother and father of a little crippled child? What do you see?
You see your Moriah. Let me take for just a few minutes in closing a little journey with Abraham, Isaac.
Isaac, God has told me to take you to Mount Moriah and 3 days from now offer you as a sacrifice. Now, Isaac, I do not know what's going to happen. But I know it's for the good because we love God. We serve Him. I don't know how it's for the good, but it's for the good. They saddled their animals, took off from Moriah. As they went to bed the first night, Abraham would say to Isaac, son, we're a day closer. If you look carefully, you can see afar off Moriah. But son, it's going to be for the good. I don't know how it's going to be for the good, but it's going to be for the good. Next night they went to sleep. Before they went to sleep on the sandy, rockish land of Judea, said, son, we're one day away now. Far off you can see Moriah. But son, I want to tell you, it's going to be for the good. I don't know how it's going to be for the good. But son, I'm not going to look at it and say, I'll be bitter because God wants you. I don't want you to be bitter because God wants me to take your life. I want us not to look away from it. There it is, right there, it's coming. But son, there is a God. And it's going to be for our good. You wait and see. It'll be for the good. Gets to the top of the mountain, the day has come. He takes the rope, lays his son on the altar, and ties his son to the altar. Can you imagine that? Ties his son to the altar. As his son is helpless, tied there to the altar, waiting to be offered like an animal. Abraham leans over his son and kisses his brow and says, son, it's going to be for the good. I don't understand how, but we love God. We're doing His will. We're obeying Him. It's going to be for the good. I don't know how it's going to be for the good, but I know. God's up to something. And then He takes that big knife and holds it over His son's body, and there His son's on the altar. The knife is in His hands, about to pierce the breast of His son. Isaac, I want to kill you now. I understand this. But God's going to see that it turns out good. What's that noise I hear? Over in the bushes, a ram's caught in the thicket trying to get loose. God, you trying to tell me something? I'm willing to listen. God said, I know you love me. I just wanted to know. Take the ram. Unloose Isaac. You talk about a Thursday night of pastor school. They had one. I mean, you think Abraham was happy. How about old wives? Yeah. And God meant it for good. And God always means it for good if we love Him, if we're in His will. And so as you look and see your life afar off this morning, and it looks awful bleary, bleak, and the cloud is approaching.
and you look afar off.
And you say things are okay now, but
afar off.
I can walk now, but
how about afar off?
I can pay my bills now, but
how about afar off? Believe it. Believe it.
Grab a hold of Romans 8:28 and squeeze it till it juices.
And let the juice of God's grace flow to your soul. And say, I do not know how that could be for good, but it will be. Because I believe God.
I don't see how that cloud and that mountain could be for good, but it will be. And look up to God and say, hey, God!
What are you up to? Because He's up to something. Father, bless the message this morning. The hearts of those who see a Moriah in the distance. The hearts of those whose afar off is cloudy.
Has not come yet. But will it come? Seems like it's on the way and it's closer every day.
Bless the dear people this morning. Who lift up their eyes to Moriah and see there afar off.